So if we, in retrospect, if you had to synthesize the period for Mark of the Blade in 2016, is there one event, one show, anything that would kind of pop in your mind immediately and kind of sum up the whole period from this album, from writing, recording, tour?
Yeah, I would definitely feel like probably Asia, when we went to Asia at the end of the Mark of the Blade tour. That kind of really summed that record up for me. Just, you know, that was the end of that cycle. And once we finished Asia, we started working on all of the new material for the Valley. So I'll remember that tour as like the beginning of everything.
Okay. When you finish the tour, what's the main feeling? Kind of relief it's about to end?
Yeah.
Excitement for the new chapter coming, or a mix of both?
Yeah, definitely a mix of both. You know, it's always good to get to the end of an album cycle and feel successful, you know, feel like you went out there and did what you needed to do. And, you know, it definitely, album cycle, I lost my train of thought.
with the Mark of the Blade, one way or the other, you expand, you think, new territories for the band? Or?
Definitely. You know, we touched on some things on Mark of the Blade where I feel like we could expand on them. You know, like we wrote Bring Me Home, and so the goal for this new record was to expand on that and to, you know, kind of create a new sound that's interesting as well as listenable.
All right. It seems you've from the beginning, you're kind of facing issues with the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason for that? Any rationality? Or is just, you know, sometimes guy fits and later on doesn't fit anymore?
Yeah, I mean, so our old drummer, Ben Harkelrode, he left the band in 2017. It was actually right after that Asia tour. And, you know, ultimately he was just burnt out. He
was exhausted, you think, from this? But from this period, Mark of the Blade, and before, or especially Mark of the Blade period?
I would say especially Mark of the Blade period. We could tell after Our Endless War, he kind of wasn't really feeling it anymore. And we went into that new record, and that's kind of what, you know, was so hard about making that record happen, too, is just that you could tell he wasn't into it. He didn't want to be there and write those songs. So, you know, it's kind of hard working with somebody that doesn't want to be there. And then ultimately he quit. So I think, honestly, it was a lot of relief off of all of our shoulders because it allowed us to just move on to the next thing, you know, instead of wondering, like, well, when is his attitude going to get better, or when is he going to, you know, start playing better, yada, yada. We just didn't have to worry about any of that anymore. So I think him quitting was actually, you know, most people would think that that was a bummer, but honestly, I think that's, like, what helped us get started towards what we needed to do to make the Valley.
Yeah. All right. It seems that your natural rhythm as for your creative process is 2-3 years.
Yeah.
That's, you think, within the band, your natural pace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if we put it out any sooner, we'd feel like it was too early, and if we put it out any later, we would feel like that it was too late, you know, like we should have put out something quicker. So I really feel like the 2-3 years is pretty optimal, at least for us as a band. You know, there's some bands like Tool that can get away with, you know, going 10 years between each record. But I think if we went for 10 years without putting out a CD, most people would forget who we were. So,
okay.
You know, I think it's important for us to kind of put stuff out every 2-3 years.
Can you write on tour? Or you need
we write a lot on tour. You know, we bring our computers and like our little demo setups and stuff, and we do quite a bit of writing while we're on the road.
You do because you need, or you do because it's a way to make something useful of a boring period?
A little bit of both. Sometimes it helps to pass the time. Sometimes we actually have to write so that we can stay on schedule, you know. Because sometimes we'll have to write and then go on tour, and then when we come back, you have to go straight into recording. So if you're not writing on the road, then you're not going to have enough material when you go into record.
I'm a bit surprised. I might be naive, and I don't know the case, but it seems that you don't decide. It seems your schedule is pre-decided for you. I would say we could imagine that your long period of tour, you come back. Some bands said, "Okay, we're off 6 months, and after that we gather again, and we'll see if the spark goes on again." Here, you seem to be more, you know, following the decision than making the decision. Am I naive and that's how the music business works, or it's your way, you need that to work effectively as a band?
I definitely feel like everything we do is very organic in nature. Like, we don't really try to force ourselves into, like, sounding one way or force ourselves into sounding a certain way or doing a certain type of tour or anything. Like, everything that's been presented in front of us has always felt very natural. So, we just try to make the best decisions that we're presented with. You know?
Right. What's the usual creative process within the band? How is there, with the experience and how do the internal chemistry work? Do you kind of follow the same process for a song to rise and become a real song?
What was the question? I mean, the main question.
What's the process within the
band? Oh, the process, yeah.
Write a song.
So usually it's, we start with the guitars, and the guitars will write all the music first, and then the drums will put drums down, and then the vocals come last. And Phil likes writing the vocals last because it's almost like another instrument where he like lays the lyrics on top of the song, versus if he just had a book full of lyrics and he was like trying to force the lyrics into the song, it's not going to sound the same. Whereas, if he can actually tailor the words to the music.
But does it mean one of you guys, one of the guitar players, comes with a riff?
Yeah.
And try to find some echoes, you know, the band members, or you come back with a structured song and you see how it works, say you discard or you keep, or what's the first light, the first spark, I would say?
I would say, honestly, it comes from the guitars. Like, you know, usually a song idea is born from just us being creative and sitting down and jamming, riffing out. Sometimes we'll hear a riff in our head and we'll just, like, hum it into the phone. And then when you get to a guitar, you can pick up the guitar and, like, try to figure out what you were humming. And there's a lot of instances where, like, something or a little spark like that can inspire a whole song.
So in your phone right now, you have hundreds of ideas.
Yeah.
Become something or...
Yeah.
All right. So it's a treasure.
Yeah.
If I follow what you just explained on the process, so I understand the fact that you wrote all the music, and the element of being the valley being that personal to your singer became late?
Yes, yeah, it did. We didn't know what the CD was going to be about, honestly, until most of it was done. He had given us a couple of ideas that he had for songs and stuff, but the concept of the record as a whole was... it wasn't done until the music was. So
the music was not written with you keeping in mind that it would be that personal to your singer.
We just wrote the music how we thought we wanted to write it. You know, how we thought it should sound, and it ended up, better.
So you kind of kept around you the same team. The producer, Mike Lewis, working mainly home, playing in your home studio in Tennessee. Is that important now for you to find this stability in terms of your say musical team? Instead of changing producer, would mm-hmm. kind of shake up the sound each time?
I definitely find that working with Mark, it's very comfortable. You know, we know that he can get great tones out of us. Like, he knows what we need to sound like. And so choosing him for the Valley was, you know, I feel like we wanted it to sound similar to the stuff that he's done before, but we also didn't want it to sound too different. So we wanted it to sound familiar, but at the same time we wanted it to sound fresh. So I think it helped a lot that he produced it and then we had somebody else mix and master it.
All right. I read on the website of your label that the recording took a little longer than expected because you had to interrupt to go on to perform gigs, tour, and come back. One way or the other, do you think the tour, the energy of the stage, or my thing you might have tried on stage, kind of fed the album, or it's two different?
No, I would definitely think so. You know, I feel like we apply a lot of things. You know, when we're writing, we'll be like, oh, this part would be cool live. You know, maybe we should write a part here for when we play it live, you know. So we do take into consideration, you know, performing the songs live while we're actually writing them.
Okay. The fact that within the song, or even from Hickory Creek, a Fool for the Song, the switch to clean vocals, mm-hmm. You anticipated that, or naturally, why this decision how could I say that? How do you find where you put clean vocals or harsh vocals?
You know, that's really all up to Phil. He is the one that kind of maps that out. And, I mean, it's really just however he feels. You know, like on Third Depth, there's, you know, it goes back and forth between the singing and the screaming. But But with the song Hickory Creek, he just chose to sing the whole time because he was like, I think it would sound weird if I screamed during any of this. So, I mean, for him, it's just kind of like whatever he's personally feeling at the moment. I mean, you can kind of tell with a guitar riff, too. Like, you know, there's certain riffs that sound better if you sing versus screaming. So, yeah.
There's no alternative version where it's all screams.
No.
You never tried?
No, we never tried it, yeah. Okay. He just, you know, whatever Phil thinks sounds best, that's usually the way we go with.
All right. A little word about the cover picture. How did you came with that idea? And now for a few albums, so was it on purpose that you kind of... the image is I would say cooler, so you don't have any more, but it was it's also a previous album with the Arch logo, or it's kind of softer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose in that. Seeing this album, we need to be, I don't know, to emphasize the fact that it's special for us, or.
Yeah, you know, I definitely feel like this album has a certain vibe to it, so we really wanted to you know, do Phil's vocals justice. You know, we really wanted to this new sound that we're creating, we just wanted to provide the right background for his vocals, you know.
Yeah. So you will soon start in June, July a US tour with Black Dahlia Murder. So long tour all around the country. What's your main expectation, especially with this upcoming tour?
We're just ready to get on the road and play some of these new songs. You know, we've been playing Mark of the Blade songs for forever, and I think we're just ready to get out there and play something new.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
All right.